The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon! It is Monday, April 6th. It's just after 3 p.m., and we are live on KTQA LP 95.3 FM here at the makeshift home studio of myself and Becky. You're listening to The Daily Briefing. My name is Sam. With me is Becky. How are you?
I'm a little bit less well than I typically am because, as our listeners probably know at this point, my day job is being a public school educator, and I'm a remote educator officially from now through the remainder of the school year.
Actually, they might not know about that considering it just happened. So in that case, why don't we get to the briefing right now?
Sure. Well, as always, state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Health department officials are always staffing a coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. And for interpreters in other languages, you can press pound when they answer and say your language. Dialing 311 from your phone in Tacoma will get you to the city of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. And dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online.
Well, hot off the digital presses, like literally just now, we stepped away from the press conference to start the daily briefing on the Washington state level. The governor and the state superintendent of public instruction have just announced that school will not resume for most students across the state for the remainder of the academic school year. Distance learning is expected to occur during the closure. High school seniors will still be allowed to graduate as long as they meet state requirements, and limited in-person instruction for specific populations of students, such as those learning English and those requiring special education services, may be developed. Moving on to the state level, a virtual town hall.
That's the city level, isn't it?
Yeah. A virtual town hall will be held with the city and county officials today, April 6th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., to provide information and answer questions about the temporary care center on Hosmer Street. Attendees may go to a very long URL, zoom.us/j/335094149. I'll say that again. zoom.us/j/335094149 or call 253-215-8782. That's 253-215-8782 to participate with the webinar ID 335-094-149.
We should say all of that will be in our notes at daily.ktqa.org if you missed any of that information or just want to have a visual of that.
Right. Yeah, you can go to our website, and you probably can also go to the Tacoma City of Tacoma website. There will be places where you can see that. The free CPR classes taught by members of the Tacoma Fire Department have been canceled for the rest of 2020 due to the coronavirus. Tacoma Public Utilities has extended the bill due date from 15 days to 12 weeks and can waive late fees. TPU customers who are having trouble paying their bills can call 253-502-8600 or 800-752-6745 Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. to ask about extended payment plans. Business customers can also qualify for extended payment plans and waive late fees. Disconnections for all customers, including businesses, have been suspended. Tacoma Power Park's campgrounds are closed March 23rd through April 30th. I expect that might be extended now. CMAR Community Healthcare Centers are providing assistance for enrollment in health insurance and basic food benefits through Washington Apple Health, the Washington Health Plan Finder, and SNAP. The Community Resource Navigator can be reached by calling toll-free 1-855-289-4503.
And regionally, Sound Transit will temporarily stop nearly all transit projects in the region through May 4th. Only work that is considered critical and necessary to safety and security, and tasks that prevent mobility and environmental impacts will continue. Work on some streets in Tacoma disrupted by Link Light Rail extension may continue in order to minimize disruption and maintain safety.
So that's the news briefings for today. There might be some updates. Like I said, we just walked in from watching a press conference with Governor Inslee about the extension of the school closures. So there may be more news. So we may give an update at 6 p.m. if there's anything new to report. So, yeah, your job just became significantly more interesting since now the remote learning component has now extended through the rest of the school year.
And it was something that school districts and school teachers were not unexpecting. Like, we weren't expecting necessarily to be surprised if the extension followed through the remainder of the school year. There's now 14 states and territories that are closed through the remainder of the academic year. Mm-hmm. So while we're disappointed in some of our circles, it's not something that's terribly surprising. It's just a change. And it's something that a lot of us are facing right now.
Right. We had pegged a lot of social sort of things that we do on how long they were going to close the schools. Now we're going to have to find another standard as they're closed through the school year. So we're not expecting to see kids in classrooms statewide until fall now, and it's still spring.
That's right.
This is new territory for me. However, you get a week to sort of let this percolate in the back of your head, as this week for you is spring break, is it
yeah,
not?
Yeah, there's a lot of public and private schools across Washington that had spring break either the previous week or this week, and there's a lot of us that are kind of having a little bit of that breathing room to try and figure things out, and so that's pretty nice.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I was going to make a MTV spring break joke, but I'm not even sure MTV is still a thing anymore. Yeah.
Well, there's all sorts of TV that's definitely a popular thing right now. Hopefully not as popular as radio.
Hopefully. Well, this is the KTQA Daily Briefing. If you would like to contact us, you can email us at daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Again, you can call or text us. 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma information line within the City of Tacoma, and 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Now on to this week's interview.
With me today is Mark Monlux. He is a freelance illustrator active in Tacoma's art community. Welcome to KTQA Daily Briefing, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love listening to this radio station.
Well, we hope that you will continue to enjoy old-time radio in addition to some of the conversations that we've been having. We've been having fun on KTQA Daily Briefing, talking to folks within the community. Now, folks within our Tacoma area community may have heard of this strange thing called CLAW that usually appears in all caps, C-L-A-W. You started that a few years ago, maybe a decade now. What is CLAW?
Well, initially, the acronym CLAW stood for the Cartoonist League of Absurd Washingtonians. But since then, it's come to represent just a group of artists. As a matter of fact, the current name for the group is CLAW Artist Guild, or just CLAW. And it started back in 2008 in October. Now, you might remember in the summer of 2008, artists were getting together on a regular basis on Friday at noon to go down to Frost Park and draw on the sidewalks using chalks. They were often referred to as the Frost Park Chalkies.
Yeah, and we would see sort of on social media the chalk-offs and lots of different cool art going on down there.
So a bunch of us realized, oh, we can't chalk through the wintertime, what with all the northwest rain and what have you, and plus it was getting cold. So I believe it was Elliot Trotter, R.R. Anderson, James Stowe, and myself. We sat down for lunch at the Two Koi restaurant, which is now just called The Koi, a wonderful little Japanese restaurant along Pacific, or just up from Pacific over by the University of Washington. And we talked about what we wanted to do for a drawing group to keep us busy during the winter. And Stowe says, I want to wear fez. And we thought, oh, that's a great idea. Well, let's make it a sort of like a secret society that's not so secret. And we thought that was a great idea. Let's make it silly. Let's make it warm and welcoming. And so we typically have a drawing session every Wednesday, every fourth Wednesday. And lately, our venue has been King's Books. But we're currently on temporary hiatus, but that has been active all these years, and it has kind of spun off into a bunch of other really fun activities. Sometimes we do things with the art museum. Other times we do things with businesses. And then we also spun off and started to do other little groups. Like one group that we also have is we meet every Monday at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and it's called Freelance Fandango. And it's just, if you're a creative professional who's trying to either freelance or do it part-time, whether you be a writer, an artist, a photographer, a cartoonist, a graphic artist, you can come to this thing and just hang out and chat with other people and work on any type of projects on your laptops that you bring with you. Now, once this pandemic season is over, we'll probably renew our in-person meetings, which are at the Red Elm Cafe on Martin Luther King. But right now, we have been meeting every week online. So if you go to our Facebook page and look for Freelance Fandango, you can find a place to sign up and come and join us for those things. And that's just one of a bunch of different groups that has kind of spun off from that.
Sounds like a lot of fun. How is it working out meeting virtually in an online hangout while you're doing artistic endeavors and networking and talking in that way? What are some of the things that are different about meeting in that virtual space?
One of the things is you get used to sharing your screen because, a matter of fact, I'm going to be hosting another drawing session this afternoon. This is Monday, and at 4:30, I'm going to be going online, and it's called Epic Sketch Time. This is another group that started up, and this group has been on meeting online for the last 4 years, so we've got it down pat. And so we got people from all over the country. Sometimes we have people as far away as South Korea come in, and so we usually sit down and then we do a round robin of sharing our screens to show, okay, here's the project I'm working on digitally, or if we have something that we've been working on physically, we hold it up to the screen. But a little bit of knowledge of how to interface with some of the more fun buttons in your social media web sharing experience is usually what you start picking up with. And you'll usually come prepared. Sometimes if you have two screens, you'll have two screens going. A lot of us, we only have one screen, but I think that that's about the only real big difference is learning how to share what you're working on where other people can look at it. It does help to have an internet portal where you can post things for people to go back and check those out later. For example, Epic Sketch Time also has a Facebook page, and what we do is we will post the videos for those sessions there for people to watch because they're shorter. Our sessions are usually anywhere between 40 minutes to an hour. But at both Freelance Fandango and Epic Sketch Time, the members will go to those pages and post links to online resources or maybe to a project that they're working on. So there's a lot more of the social media components going on.
Sounds like there's some really neat interaction, though, even as we are socially distanced at this time. I want to ask a little bit about your own cartooning and drawing and graphic design. How would you characterize your style?
Oh, I would say that I'm a cartoonist. I sell myself professionally as a graphic facilitator. I would often go in when people were having brainstorming sessions and sit in and draw people's concepts and ideas while they're talking about it. Like I'll have a marketing guy talking to an engineering guy, and sometimes they need to have a drawing between the two of them so that they completely understand each other. And then I'll, once they got their concepts down, I'll do more drawings, and those will go into a package that then goes over to implementation. During this whole distancing thing, a lot of my work has been shifting from in-person meetings to, again, doing the video conferences and then showing the other people in the group what I'm drawing. Often, everyone else will be talking, and I'll be screen sharing, showing my screen while I'm drawing live. So it's a lot of fun doing that.
It sounds like a really interesting part of the design cycle between lots of different people of different skills that maybe folks may not have even considered as existing as part of graphic design and illustration and cartooning and things like that. What kind of advice do you have for any aspiring illustrators or cartoonists?
Oh, wow. The first thing is to be very open to other avenues than what you might have stereotypes of what you think an artist should do or how they should be performing. Like, a lot of people think that the only way that you can be a cartoonist is either by drawing for DC or Marvel or becoming syndicated in a newspaper. However, that's not really the case. The best thing you can do is to look for professional organizations that can actually teach you the ropes in these things. I belong to a number of organizations. There's the Graphic Artists Guild, which is very good for anyone who's freelancing as a graphic artist, an illustrator, or a cartoonist. There's the National Society of Cartoonists, which I also belong to. If you're a photographer, check out the American Society of Media Photographers. Look for a professional organization in the field that you want to, you know, that you're interested in, and then look for the businesses that tend to hire those people. I find that rather than doing market campaigns of just announcing myself like in the Yellow Pages, that if I look specifically for a client that I want to work for, like say Microsoft, and I spend a couple days making phone calls to Microsoft, I can usually find somebody there who would be interested in me.
Kind of a neat way into that little look into how to, I don't know, make it as an artist, especially in a time when there's so many folks that might be breaking into the field and may not have particular traditional training, either with art schools or graphic design degrees and things like that. So really cool advice on that end. I want to ask you, what's your favorite thing about Tacoma, Mark?
Oh, wow. I would have to say it is the art scene in Tacoma. I have to confess that when I first moved here back in the mid-90s, I didn't become involved in the art scene right away. It was only about 12 years ago that I really start thinking, you know, I don't need to go up to Seattle to be part of the art scene there. I bet there's a great art scene here in Tacoma. And as soon as I started looking around, I started meeting people and was just amazed at the amount of artists and all the various groups and types of projects. Now, if you are an artist in Tacoma, one of the best pieces of advice I can say for getting out there is to get on the Tacoma Art Listserv. This is a wonderful listserv that anyone in Tacoma that has a group or a meeting or maybe a job or they know of a sculpture that's going to be a public sculpture project that's going to be announced, all those announcements show up on the listserv, and it's very active. I would say that the listserv sends out anywhere between 2 to 8 messages a week, and that's a great way to learn about the other groups in town and also to meet people.
So, Mark, how can folks follow up with you and your work or any of the things that you've mentioned so far today?
Well, let's see. I love it when people follow me on Instagram. one of the things I like to do, I love movies. So I like to draw cartoon reviews of movies. And I usually post one of those a week along with other drawings on my Instagram. So if you follow me at Mark Monolux, that's MarkMonlux as an X-ray, you'll see, you'll get a little movie review about once a week. And that would be a great way to contact me about some of these other groups. You can also reach me on Facebook. I'm pretty active there.
Now, your love of movies coincides a little bit with mine and Sam in terms of old movies and old monster movies or funny kinds of things that are kind of over the top, use of puppetry, some of those B-roll things. How did you get into that?
I wish I had understood my love for movies a lot earlier in life than what I did. In fact, when I was a little kid, I've been a fan of movies ever since I saw Vincent Price in The Fly. It was just, I just love staying up late night on Friday watching Cairo TV. They had a show called Nightmare Theater, double features every Friday, and just watching all these awful B movies. And then as I grew up, I just started studying movie posters for their illustration and their design. And suddenly I turned around and I realized, oh my God, I don't just like movies. I love movies, because I would talk to other people about movies and they hadn't gone to the theater. They hadn't seen this movie. They were hesitant about going to see that movie. I just couldn't believe people didn't spend all their time like I did going to the theater. Oh, speaking of the theater, in Tacoma, there's a place called the Grand Cinemas, and a group of Claw members have started to do movie posters for them for their showings on Saturday night, which was called Weird Elephant. And we've done about 30 prints for them. When the movie theater opens back up, you'll see us in the lobby selling our prints again on Saturday nights, and that's just another fun thing.
Those Weird Elephant nights are certainly fun. They're not those contemporary, you know, movies. A lot of them are sort of cult classics or fun holiday kind of themed things. I think I saw a Monty Python Life of Brian at some point through one of the Weird Elephant showings.
Oh, and I think they have an annual Christmas showing of Die Hard, which was an absolute hoot. Oh, and at the Blue Mouse. By the way, I did the logo for the Blue Mouse
Theater. Oh, fun. That's one of the other independent cinemas in town.
Yes. Now, there's a fellow named Anthony Duzak, and what he does is he works with the Blue Mouse Theater to every third Friday of the month. He does something called Friday Night Frights, and they show an old horror movie from either the 70s or the 80s. And he also has a cabal of artists that he has coming in to draw a movie poster for that particular month. And doing movie posters, I actually started with him, but since he was only doing them once a month and he had a cabal of artists, I was lucky if I got to draw one or two posters a year. And that's when the Claw decided to approach the Grand Cinemas, because they were doing stuff weekly, which almost guaranteed that you could do a movie poster once a month.
Well, lots of really fun, rich arts and film going on in Tacoma. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today on KTQA Daily Briefing.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Mark Monlux is a freelance illustrator active in Tacoma's art and now film, I have learned, arts and film and cartooning and illustrating community.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. You can call or text us there. See you tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.